James chapter 5. You can keep padding right there. Verse 13 through 18. I'm in a series of repentance, but I'm dealing with a lot of different stuff while I'm talking about repentance. Baby, if you will, grab your mic and read for me. 13 through 18.
Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man of like nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit.
Now I want you to look at your neighbor and say, receive your healing. Tell them again, receive your healing. That's good, Malcolm. Thank you. I want us to take hold of what the Lord has shared. Let's dissect what it means to receive in its entirety. I think it's important for us sometimes to go back to school for just a little while because we forget. Receive is to take into one's possession. Somebody say, when I receive it, it's mine. When you receive something from someone and they say you can have it, that means you take ownership of it. It has been given to you, and all you have to do is receive what's been given to you. It's important for us to understand that what's been given to you, you have to believe it is yours. Sometimes people give you stuff and you say, this ain't mine. I remember when me and my wife first got married, I used to say, that's your money. That's your money. I don't feel right. That's your money. That's what you make. I hear recently she been saying, that's your money. I said, you remember what you told me? I said, it's ours. So when it's being given to you, you take ownership of it. You say, it's mine. Somebody shout, it's mine. It is also important to understand that when receiving something, it doesn't always come in material form. Sometimes it's information that you need to receive. Tell your neighbor, slow down and listen sometime. Because the Bible says in Matthew 11:15, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Ask your neighbor, can you hear? Today is the day we receive our healing because we are able to hear. Tell your neighbor, can you hear? Listen. Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him. Comprehend that. And by his stripes, we are what? We are healed. Can you hear? Ask your neighbor, can you hear? Can you believe? Can you understand? Do you get what that says? Take ownership that his stripes healed me. Take ownership that when he went to the cross, I have victory from that. Ask your neighbor again, can you hear? James in our text gives us practical instructions on healing. He first says in verse 13, if anyone is suffering, let him pray. If you got an issue, pray about it. If you got a thing you need healing from, pray about it. Tell your neighbor, pray. We can't allow the suffering to rob our prayer life. Handling suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. Are you long-suffering? Can you handle it? I'll be the first to say that sometimes when I get sick, I'm the biggest baby in the world. But God's trying to shift me to the point where I can handle it. I remember Pastor Luke being a big baby when he had the flu. We can't allow the suffering to rob, watch it, our prayer life. He tells us to pray. We can't allow it to rob our prayer life, because a lot of times when we go through things, there are challenges that come and we stop praying. Don't nobody want to say amen to that, because y'all know how we get. When let somebody do us wrong, we get it all in our feelings and we ain't praying. So don't let the suffering rob your prayer life. The next time you go through, pick yourself up, put yourself together, and pray. God will give you the ability to go through it with grace. He has grace for you to go through some of the stuff you have to go through. Having a prayer life is definitely needed in these days and times. Ask your neighbor, do you have a prayer life? James goes on to say, is anyone among you sick? Let him call upon the elders of the church and let them pray. Somebody say, there's prayer again. Let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. I need us to understand that there are many forms of sickness. The word sickness, we only relate to it from a physical standpoint. But there are many forms of sickness. Watch this. The first and most important one is sin. In most cases, not all cases, sin is the root to most sickness in the physical body. Disobedience is a sin. So when you're operating in disobedience, you are going against what has been instructed for you to do. In Genesis, you'll find the story of Adam and Eve. God created Adam in his image. Before Eve, there was no sin, correct? God told Adam he could have all that's in the garden but one tree. And God put Adam to sleep, created Eve from Adam's rib. Eve comes about, and the devil, who was kicked out of heaven, the Bible describes him as a serpent. He manipulates and convinces her to eat. Pause. Healing. Deliverance. He convinces you to eat. I need a healing. He convinces you to eat. Most of the issues we have in our body, our physical body, is because we eat. Or what he said, do not eat from. What are you talking about, Pastor? A lot of stuff we eat is not healthy for us. But we eat anyway. And we'll say, bless this food. I tell them, I pick at them all the time. Bless the food, let it be nourishment for our body. And it's crap. You're asking God to bless something you know that ain't good for you. So let's shift right there. Tell your neighbor, let's shift right there. Because the enemy is manipulating and convincing. He's convincing us to eat. My wife told me last night, many of you heard her, you don't need that candy. Don't get that candy. I said, golly, when we got in the car, I was like, well, dang. Where that come from? I wasn't going to eat but a little bit. You know you're going to eat more than that. You done so good. And I have been. I've been doing good. But she said, that's what we need around us daily. You need a reminder. Ask your neighbor. Matter of fact, get a little close to him and say, can you hear? Because you already got some hog maws and all kind of stuff in your crock pot before you left home. Can you fix a salad? Can you bake some chicken? Can you bake some fish? And put a little vegetable on the side and leave the bread off. Tell your neighbor, you're going to receive your healing today, because you just need to be able to hear. You just need to be able to believe. You just need to be able to understand. Moving on. So he describes him as a serpent who manipulates and convinces Eve to eat from the tree that was forbidden. There's some stuff that's forbidden. Then Eve convinces Adam to do the same. And that's how sin came on the scene. It was through, watch it, disobedience. I need you to heal these diabetes, but I keep drinking sugar and I keep eating sugar. I need you to heal these diabetes. walking in disobedience. Because somebody done gave you the instruction how to get over this. But you can't be disciplined enough, like I said last week, to handle it. Tell somebody we're about to shift. Disobedience keeps you from the promise. Disobedience keeps you from the promise of healing. High blood pressure, salt, sodium. A lot of the times, that's what in it, a lot of pork, stuff like that that you eat. He manipulates us and convinces us this is all right. Here we go. Disobedience keeps you from the promise. He promised you by his stripes we are healed. But we can't walk in it because of disobedience. Here we go. Moving on. I know this hard, but I feel the Lord. I feel grace. It hinders, disobedience hinders, watch it, your breakthrough. You want to take notes right here. Disobedience, it keeps you from the promise. And it hinders your breakthrough. Don't pray. Don't worship. Don't do the things you need to do. You won't see the manifestation of the Lord. If you want to see the manifestation of the Lord, be obedient to his word. Here we go. Adam disobeyed and sin entered. All right. Sickness can be sin. It can be physical. It can be emotional sickness. It can be mental sickness. And you can have life sickness. A lot of people don't deal with the fact that they have mental sickness. We hide it. We cover it up. And we don't pray about it. But there are some things that are turning in the mind that shouldn't be turning in the mind. We have thoughts, but they don't always come out of our mouth. So if we learn to pray about the thoughts, we won't behave the way we behave. God is getting ready to break mental sickness. Somebody shout, he's breaking it. He's breaking it. Ask your neighbor again, can you hear? Somebody need to. Here we go. Where you're just sick of life itself can be a sickness. Y'all hear me? Where you're just sick of life itself. And I think there are some individuals that get to that point because they experience so much stuff in life to the point that they are sick of life. God's getting ready to heal you. Watch this. John 10:10. Says the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy life. I have come that they may have life, Jesus said, and that they may have it more abundantly. The thief only comes except to steal from you, to kill and destroy your life. He want to steal your life. He want to kill your life. He want to destroy your life. Jesus said, I have come. The purpose I came is that you may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Somebody shout, abundance is mine. Repentance and humility will produce the healing you need. Let me say that again for you to write it down. Repentance and humility will produce the healing you need. It takes humility to even begin to repent. Because you have to recognize that I'm not quite there. And I think sometimes we come to church, we worship, and we pray, and we try to walk upright, and we never take ownership of a humility. Why? Because I've been doing everything he asked me to do, but you don't realize that you stepped out of line once, or twice, or thrice. You need to take ownership of humility because it takes humility to even begin to recognize that I am wrong. I am not as good as I thought I were. Here we go. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. I told you last week, same verse. And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. If my people who are called by my name, You're called by the name of Jesus. Why do you say that? Because God sent Jesus for you. So your name is attached to Jesus. His name is attached to you. God sent Jesus to redeem you back to him, to give you glory, to give you power, to give you victory. That's why he did it. So here we go. Call by my name. Now you got to humble yourself and believe he sent me for you. And then turn from the wickedness. Pray and seek his face. Turn from the wickedness. He said, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Acts 3:19 says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. In his presence, I can be refreshed. In his presence, sins will be blotted out. I got to repent. So when I come into the house of the Lord, I need to have a heart of repentance. I need to have a heart of repentance daily. But when I get up out of the bed, I'm saying, Lord, help me today. I'm sorry for anything that I've done and anything that I may do. Because I'm not perfect. I'm going to help somebody in a minute. Here we go. Humility and repentance presents an opportunity for refreshing and healing. Heaven rejoices over the one that repents than the 99 that doesn't. Here we go. Moving on. As we repent, we begin to pray the prayer of faith. Verse 15 says that the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Verse 16 says that the effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. Righteousness is not of your own. If it is, it's called self-righteousness. You are crediting yourself for being righteous. Here we go. We cannot be righteous by ourselves. We are only strivers. That's all you are. The Bible calls you a filthy rag. You are strivers. Now get that in your spirit. Somebody shout, I'm a striver. Because if you get that in your spirit, you'll begin to walk in the path that the word has light up for you to walk. Because the word is a light to my path and a lamp to my feet. So if I get that in my spirit, I am a striver. I'm taking strides every day. I'm striving to be what he called me and desires for me to be. That's what I am, a striver. While God gives the ability to be what he desires for us to be. We are only strivers while God gives the ability to be what he desires for us to be. Even Jesus, walking the earth, needed the Father. So you mean to tell me you can do all this by yourself? It is not, I feel the Holy Ghost right here. I wasn't going to say it, but I'm going to say it. It is not, I better leave that alone. It was not designed for us to be able to do it by ourselves. It was not designed for, because if you can do it by yourself, everybody will be doing it. There are some things that God has equipped you with to be able to do. Your parents instilled in you some stuff that was right because they went to church. They made you a good moral person. But there are still some stuff that you experience that's hanging on to you that's not like God. It's still some stuff, whether you believe it or not. That's still, because it's not designed for you to be perfect. It's not designed for you to be able to walk and do all the things perfectly. If it was the case, everybody could do it, even Jesus. If it was that way, why did Jesus go in the garden and say, take this cup from me? He didn't want it. It was hard. It was difficult. People were betraying him. People were doing all that. But he said, nevertheless, not my will. His will was different from the Father. So you mean to tell me you're better than Jesus? So here we go. You got to get to the point to where you rely on him and him alone. Because he is the one that makes you well. He is the one that gives you the strength. He is the one that gives you, I don't want to take his credit. Jesus always consulted the Father. Even if you go back to Lazarus, he took a moment to pray and consulted with the Father. In other words, if you read the story, he recognized that this is not my ability. This is his ability. All right, here we go. The Bible says in Peter, let me say this first. Righteous prayers have power. Righteous prayers has power. When I say righteous prayers, I'm saying if you would allow yourself to strive to be what God wants you to be. Righteous prayers have power. I can call on the name of the Lord and he will shift my desires. The Bible says submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee. Watch the first part. We only remember the second part. Submit to God, resist the devil and he'll flee. Submit to God. Submission to God is deep. I got to walk in his obedience. I got to be willing to sacrifice myself. There's a daily death when it comes to living for God. You got to die to you every day. Righteous prayers have power. Being righteous carries weight and it stamps approval on us. Just striving to be righteous stamps approval on you. It stamps approval because I'm trying to turn from that. I'm trying to change from that. I'm trying to shift from that. I may have a moment, but I'm trying my best to come out of that. Here's the problem. A lot of times church people want to go through something, but they want to stay in something. You want me to talk about it? You like drama. You like stuff. You like gossip. You like that type of stuff. We like the stuff we like and don't want to come out of it. So we're not striving when we desire to stay in the mud. It means something to strive to be righteous in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible says in Peter, be holy for I am holy. If I am is holy, it's my job to be holy. He helps me be holy. He doesn't expect me to do it on my own. He gave me a helper, the Holy Spirit. And we ride down the road. Some told me not to go that way. Some said, some told me to go to Walmart. I knew you were going to call me and ask for some. Some told me, didn't it? Some told me. That's what we say. It is the Holy Ghost. It is the helper. If you turn this way, I'll keep you from that. If you go to Walmart like I told you to, he ain't going to be mad at you. You knew we needed some milk in the house, and you went right by Walmart and didn't get no milk. Act like that ain't real life. That's real life. I tell my wife in a minute, now you went to the store and didn't give me no chips. Come on now. I like chips. For anybody that want to buy me some chips, you can send it to my Cash App, Just Tory Noggle. In Numbers 11, the Israelites were beginning to complain after they were delivered. And it displeased the Lord, and his anger aroused. The Bible says the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some. But the prayers of the righteous. The Bible says when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. The Lord heard the righteous man. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time for us to get right, church. Lastly, and I'm leaving this thing, faith makes you whole. Faith makes you whole. There are many instances in the word where Jesus, the word, heals people through their faith. Your faith has made you well. In order for you to receive your total healing, it requires total faith. You can't have that old wavery stuff. The doctor said, that was Chinese, just in case you didn't know. But we go to the doctor tell us stuff, and we believe it. And we come home, and we can't break free from what we've already received. Because that has become our revelation of who we are and what we're dealing with. So we have received the doctor's word, and now we can't receive God's word. Because you can't have two heads. You can't let two people lead you. You got to have one so you can stay on the right path. So stop going into the doctor's office believing everything they say. Watch this. I'm finna help somebody. I was shooting popping steroids. They were giving me steroids for sinus infection and all kind of stuff I've been had for years. I ain't been able to smell for years. And they put that stuff on my nose and like put him on this, put him on that, put him on. My wife asking questions. I'm just sitting there. Started taking all that medicine. My body went crazy. Blood pressure was going crazy. Heart rate was going crazy. All kind of stuff was going on. I went to the doctor. She said, we're going to do an EKG on you. Did the EKG. It came back at normal. He said, we're going to send you to the cardiologist, which I go Friday. And they said, all these things to me. And I said, she said, if you get the feeling worse, go to the ER. I said, ooh, that's scary. My wife spoke up and said, no, that ain't scary. That's just them steroids got you all out of whack. It lifted me up to have somebody in my corner to say, no, it's all right. She ain't worried, I ain't worried. And I'm the one going through it. So you need somebody with faith that can pick you up out of the rut you get in sometimes. You are not able to do this on your own. That's right, boy. In order for you to receive your total healing, it requires total faith. Even if you don't got it, somebody else need it. You got to believe when no one else around you believes. Tell somebody it takes total faith. I'm going. The woman with the issue of blood understood that even in the midst of adversity, faith prevails. Even in the fact I spent all I had. Even in the fact that I've done all the things that I know to do, faith will prevail. Look at your neighbor and say, faith will prevail. If you got total faith, you got to trust the fact that God's able to pull you out of the thing you've been put in. Because sometimes he may not pull you out. Sometimes he'll just get in the fire with you. Tell your neighbor, faith will prevail. Blind Bartimaeus in adversity knew that faith prevails. He sat on the side of the road and he heard that Jesus was near. Look at somebody and say, Jesus is near your problem. Turn it up, boy. Jesus is near your problem. Don't listen to nobody else. Turn that thing up. Jesus is near your problem. Tell them, say, Jesus is near your problem. Blind Bartimaeus once scared. Everybody telling him to be quiet. He said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Tell somebody, he gonna have mercy on me. He's gonna have mercy on me. He's gonna have mercy on me. He's gonna have mercy on me. On that, turn it up. On that blind, tell blind Bartimaeus, I'm gonna be like him. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, bless my soul. Son of David, heal my body. Cause I came to receive my healing. Somebody shout, receive it, receive it, receive it. The leper's faith prevailed in the midst of adversity. I said the leper's faith prevailed in the midst of adversity. Adversity may come your way, but through faith you shall. I said you shall. I said you shall. Look at your neighbor and say you shall. You shall. You shall be holy. I said be holy. I said be holy. You shall be holy. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Adversity may come. Pad, Malcolm. Adversity may come your way, but through faith, you shall be whole. Faith will cause sickness to flee. Come out of your dark place and move into your place of faith. And watch the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, watch the Lord. Watch the Lord. Watch the Lord. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can just look around and see the Lord. Sometimes I can just look around, look back there at Nana and them and see the Lord. Look at Brother Keon and Jessica and see the Lord. The Bible tells me to be fruitful and multiply. I can see the Lord because it's his goodness that brought my child forth. It's his goodness that I can look at my wife and see he gave me a beautiful thing. He gave me favor. I can see the Lord. Come out of your dark place and move into your place of faith and watch the Lord. When I get in faith, I can watch the Lord. Reveal everything that he told me he was going to reveal to me. I can watch the Lord. I can watch the Lord. Show up on my behalf. I can watch the Lord. Pull me out of the thing that I've been struggling with. I can watch the Lord. Heal me from the thing I've been walking in for years. I can watch the Lord after I've done it. Everything I know to do, I can watch the Lord. Heal my body. Somebody shout, watch the Lord. If we identify the sickness and we repent and get right with Jesus, then we will see God's glory through faith. Tell your neighbor, all it takes is for you to repent and you will see his glory. 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 You'll see his glory. You'll see his glory. You'll see his glory. You'll see his glory. I want to see his glory. I want to see his glory. Father, we thank you. If you'll lift those hands right there, we'll thank you. We'll forever praise you. We're going to see your glory on our lives. We're going to see your goodness on our lives. We're going to see your healing on our lives. As we repent, we take a moment. Come on, just begin to repent. Just talk to him. Father, forgive me for the things that I may have done wrong, that are unclean in my heart, that are unclean in my mind. God, you're able to turn that thing around and change my mind from thinking the way it thinks. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renew your mind. Renew my mind. Renew my mind. Turn it around for me. Help me, God. I don't want to think the way I think. I don't want to feel the way I feel. I don't want to have wrong desires. I want you to change my thoughts. I repent, Lord. Forgive me for thinking the way I think, for doing the things I've done that are not like you. Forgive me, God. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I want to change. Convert me into the person you called me to be. Let me not stay here. Forgive me, God. Change my mind. Change my heart. Change who I am.
Forgive me for not walking in the way you called me to walk in. Forgive me for not rising up. Forgive me for not taking the strength that you have given me and be bold and courageous and do the things you called me to do. Forgive me, Lord, for not being who you called me to be. I'm rising up in this season, and I shall be what you called me to be. Forgive me so that I'm able to see your glory on my life, around my life, in my people's people, in my co-workers. I can see your glory all over the room. Everywhere I go, I can see your glory. I'm sorry, Lord, for not being in the place that you called me to be in. In Jesus' name.